You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Reverend Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Invite your attention to a passage of scripture you'll find in the book of Ephesians. In the very fourth chapter of Ephesians, I want to read in your hearing verses 31 and 32. For the sake of context, you should read all of the fourth chapter when it's your own leisure, and you need to understand that this is written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus for practical living as Christians. But for the sake of our text, we want to read verses 31 and 32, where it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." The message is entitled, "Build a Bridge and Get Over It." Build a bridge and get over it. It's amazing that we enter a new year. We're only 21 days into it. And yet and still, a lot of us have brought our anger and resentment into the new year with us. People have a tendency to hold grudges not only for weeks and months, but even years. And the idea is that if you are a Christian, you cannot keep these things in you and allow them to fester, because they become cancerous to your spirit. If you consider yourself a Christian, you cannot allow anger and rage and resentment, animosity, hostility, grudges, bitterness, gall to live and to breed in you, because it staunches your Christian growth. Amen. Jesus taught us well, even in the model prayer. When he taught his disciples to pray in Matthew 6:12, you'll find that he says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." But the focus of the whole model prayer is found in verse 14, for it says, "For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Forgiveness is necessary in order for you to grow. And I hear people all the time, they find it difficult to forgive and they don't want to forget. Well, I understand that, because it's difficult to forget when you've been injured by someone, but you must forgive him anyway. As a matter of fact, I think that God is the only one who can forgive and forget. Most of us don't forget nothing. Amen. But you'd be surprised how many people are angry at somebody and can't remember why they were angry at that person. They'd have forgotten about it. They just know they're angry at them and don't like them, or they're mad at them, anything. And this, and it festered that thing, and, you know, don't even understand why. And I remember talking to a man who told me, "I don't get angry, I just get even." Well, that ain't right neither. That ain't right neither. For the Bible makes this plain, that's not what you're supposed to do. Amen. The Bible says in Romans 12, it says in verse 17, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." Just because people make you mad and angry, you don't get angry at them. "Provide things honest in the sight of all men, and if it be possible," listen now, "and if it be as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men." That's everybody. And then when you're talking about "I get even," well, let me tell you what it said, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Practical living for a Christian. The Bible makes it plain that we're not supposed to be walking around mad and upset with everybody. And a lot of you do. A lot of you brought that anger into not only your home, you brought it into the church. You're angry at your boss. You come home and you take it out on your kids, your wife. You kick the dog, amen. And people don't know what's wrong with you. And when anger controls you, you're no longer in control of your anger. That's why when you read this fourth chapter, you'll see in verse 26, it says, "Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath." In other words, it's all right to be angry, because you will sometime. People will get on your last nerve. But don't stay angry. Don't let the sun go down and you're still angry. Build a bridge and get over it. Get over the anger. Amen. Amen. Jesus, when he took the cords and made a whip out of it and cleansed the temple, I could see he was angry, but he didn't stay angry because he loved the people. Amen. So it says here, it says, neither give place to the devil. In other words, if you stay angry, Satan will get a foothold. And then the Holy Spirit can't use you because Satan got a foothold in you. In other words, let me put it like this. Don't let the devil see you sweat. He loved that. Amen. Amen. If you're going to be operating by the Spirit, you can't grieve the Holy Spirit. Verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." You cannot push the Holy Spirit aside when he's trying to tell you to forgive people. Let it go. Build you a bridge and get over it. Amen. Amen. I know how it is, because I know like when people owe me money. Yeah, I'm going there. Amen. I'm going there. And they act like they can't remember they owe me money. They know they owe me money. Amen. But I build a bridge and get over it. I've gone back to some of them and said, "Look, I loaned you some money. You said you were going to pay me back. You didn't pay it back. Just receive it as a gift of God. But since I gave it to you, I have not come up short in any way." So here's what I do now. Now, I'm saying this because I don't want y'all coming up to me, everybody asking me to loan them some money. Amen. I'm trying to get this straight now. Amen. I don't loan money. The banks do that. I will give you money if I can afford to give it to you. And I'll tell you that. This is not a loan. This is a gift. I'm giving it to you. Now, I'm not giving gifts to everybody. Amen. Don't play the sermon back to me and tell me this is what you said. Amen. Everybody ain't getting no gift. My kids and grandkids come first now, and Sister Twyman as well, amen. And then since I brought up Sister Twyman, let me tell you like this. Brother and sister, a lot of you are angry at your wives, angry at your husbands, and living in the same house and come to church together, sit next to each other, still mad, still angry. And if anybody in this world know how to make you mad, it's your wife. It's your husband. They know where to push the button. They know where the buttons are to push them. Yeah. Amen. My wife can make me so mad I want to go out in the backyard and eat rocks. Amen. Just crunch on the rocks and break all my teeth out. I had a friend of mine. Every time his wife make him mad, he'd go out to Belle Isle and start throwing rocks. He almost built a bridge over to Canada with all them rocks he was throwing out there. Amen. Then one man said, I wouldn't mind. I know I make her mad all the time, but she gets historical on me. I said, "No, you mean hysterical." He said, "No, Reverend, you don't understand. My wife get historical. We can be sitting at dinner time, and she'll say, 'It was 1995 on July the 5th, after the 4th of July. I remember it like it was yesterday. We're supposed to be such and such a place, and you told me you had to go somewhere, and you lied. Now you're bringing this up some 15, 20 years later.'" She gets historical. You see, because people, you need to get over that. Build you a bridge and get over it. It's not doing us any good. And I told the men this morning, I'm going to tell you now, if your wife is sitting on the side of the bed or sitting at the table and she's crying and she's staring off into space, and the first thing for you men want to do is say, baby, what's the matter? Don't you do that. I'm going to help you all right now. It's just something you want to say, what's wrong? You need to walk out the room. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with her. It's you. It's going to always be you. So what you need to say is, baby, I understand. I'm just no good. My daddy wasn't no good. His daddy wasn't no good. And daddy before him wasn't no good. I come from a group of no good men. So I don't blame you for crying, baby. I understand. I just ain't no good. Then you just tiptoe out the room. When I got through preaching, my wife told me, you make me mad all the time. Sometimes you don't know it. And I said, I don't want to know it either. Amen. I have this tendency as a preacher of making people mad. I can't help it. And I have people get mad at me and leave the church or something I said in a sermon. I do that all the time, but I'm just trying to preach you. Let me tell you why I do that. I'm telling you these things because I love you. I plan to spend eternity with Jesus and you. That's my plan. And life is short. I ain't got time to be mad at you. Life is short. I'm trying to do the best I can to make you the best you can be and the best we can be before God so we can spend eternity together. Now, if you get mad at me for that, you need to build a bridge and get over it. I know I say things, I rub people the wrong way. I was preaching a revival once, and as a matter of fact, that's the only time I preached a revival at that church. They told me I couldn't come back because I was too rough on the people. I said, Reverend, you beat my members all up. And I had a lady come up to me after church, and she said, you were so rough on everybody, and what you say, you just raw, and you just tell it like it is. I said, yeah, they say I'm straight, no chaser. I ain't trying to flavor this thing up for you. I ain't got no candy and Tootsie Rolls. I'm trying to give you the word of God. She said, well, Reverend, you don't understand. You rub people the wrong way. I don't mean no harm, but you rub people the wrong way. She said, I have cats at home, and when I'm petting my cats, and if I rub them the wrong way, the hair stand up. I said, well, ma'am, I don't mean no harm either, but maybe you need to tell that cat to turn around. So if I rub you the wrong way, guess what? You need to turn around. I'm trying to get you right. Amen. These things should never be in the Christian life. Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. And clamor is loud talking. You got some people, they get loud when they get angry. Amen. They get loud. Evil speaking. Put away all of that from you with malice. It's not doing any good. The Bible says be tenderhearted. Amen. Because this is what God has done. Forgiving one another. We need to learn how to forgive people. I know people have hurt you. I know they have. People are not right. People have wronged you. You've been used. You've been abused. You've been shaken. You've been forsaken. You've been shocked. You've been mocked. You've been played. You've been betrayed. You've been hurt and you've been treated like dirt. But you need to learn how to build a bridge and get over that. Don't let that keep you from doing what God would have you to do. Put a smile upon your face. Amen. Amen. I don't mean to hurt people, but sometimes people get hurt when they hear the truth. As a matter of fact, in 1 John 3 and 13 to 15, it tells us that this is an indication of your salvation. Listen to what it said. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. People are going to hate you. The world's going to hate you. Because you belong to Christ. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And listen to this. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer shall have eternal life abiding in him. If you claim to be a Christian, you don't have the time, the energy to hate anybody. I don't care what they've done. I don't care how much money they owe you. You don't have the time to hate somebody because all that does is hurt you. If you've been born again, you can't do it. And I'm not just talking about church folk, and you'd be surprised how many people can't stand some of their own relatives, brothers and sisters, and don't get along with each other. Well, the Bible says you can't get along with them, just stay away from them. Amen. But you need to learn how to build a bridge. Now, the first bridge is known to man were natural bridges that bridged a gap, a gorge, or some type of valley where a tree would fall over, and you can get from one place to the other by going across the tree. That was a natural bridge. It was a passage allowing you the freedom to go from one side to another. Now, structural engineers will agree that there are six basic bridges. Now, these are the bridges called a beam bridge. That was kind of like the one I talked about where the tree fell on the other side. A cantilever bridge, an arch bridge, a cable-stayed bridge, a truss bridge, and a suspension bridge. That's the kind you want to build, a suspension bridge. Now, the earliest suspension bridges were made from ropes and vines. And this is how the most primitive way of building a bridge was like this. And it's the same way that we as Christians need to build a bridge to get over the thing that we're bothered by. They would take a bow and an arrow and tie a thin thread to it and would shoot it across the gap. And it would land in a tree or land somewhere. And the person on the other side would get hold to that. And then the person who shot the arrow in the first place would tie a string to the thread. And then they would pull that string across. And then from that, he would tie a rope to the string and pull that across. And then they would tie a cable to the rope. And now you got a cable going all the way across where you couldn't shoot it with a bow because it would never make it to the other side. But now there's a way to get it. And then they would send another, and another until you got at least three cables, and they would build a suspension bridge from that. And that's the same way you do when people have wronged you, when people don't speak to you no more, when people are angry with you. It starts with one, just a thread of hello. Even if they don't speak to you, say hello. It starts with a hello. Then it might for the string, you might just extend your hand and shake their hand. And then for a rope, you might hug them. And then if you want to send a cable, you might say, we need to sit down and have coffee together. Or let me take you to lunch and so we can talk about the thing that has bothered us because we're brothers in Christ. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're supposed to love one another. And it's not right for us not to speak like this. That's how you build a bridge. It takes time to build a bridge. But you got to communicate with somebody. And sometimes you'll find out that it wasn't something you said. It was something somebody else said. That's the one that gets me. People mad at me and I ain't even say nothing. The pastor said such and such a thing about you. I did. Well, don't talk about me, talk to me. Come on, that's what Jesus was talking about. Jesus talked about conflict resolution. He says in Matthew 18 and 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. That's it. Don't put it on Facebook. Don't put it on Instagram. Don't text it. Don't write him a letter. Go to that person and that person alone and y'all work it out. That's what the Bible says. You know, because you find a lot of times, I heard you said such and such about me. I said, let me tell you something. I ain't scared to tell you nothing. I'll tell you to your face if I want you to know. What you gonna do? You're talking to a 300-pound man here. You know, I mean, what you gonna do? I meant to say what I said. And if you didn't hear it, that's because you wasn't here. Yes, I said it. Now, I'm only saying it to help you. You need to get better than you are. And maybe you can say something to help me get better than I am. I told you God is still working on me. He's teaching me when to shut up and when to speak up. Amen. He ain't through with me and he ain't through with you either. But it kills me when people say, I heard that you said, and I didn't say nothing. Because a lot of people, they hear it a different way. They have a way of put their own twist to it. That's how gossip gets started and everything. People, you say one thing, they put a little hot sauce on it to make it a little hotter. So when they tell it, oh, he said that? Yeah. Girl, you ought to check him. Yeah, you better check yourself or you wreck yourself. Jesus gave us three steps. Follow them in the sequence in which he gave them. If your brother trespasses against you, you go to him and him alone. Go to him. Talk to him. Now, the whole reason for you going to them is that if he shall hear you, thou hast gained thy brother. You're going for reconciliation. You want to be friends again. Now, if he won't hear you, the Bible says in verse 16 of Matthew 18, then take thee one or two more witnesses. And the whole idea is that between all of you together, you should be able to reconcile the whole matter. That's the whole idea of reconciliation, that everything will be established. Now, if he don't hear you, bring it to the church. That's when I get involved. I'm part of step three, not step one. Pastor, you know, blah, blah, blah. No. Did you go to them? No. Well, you got to go to them and them alone first. You got to follow the procedure. Go to them. Well, she said, I don't care what she said. Go to her, try to reconcile, then take you one or two witnesses, then bring it to the church. And if they won't hear the church, we're to cast you out as an infidel or a heathen or an unsaved person. That don't mean we don't love you. That don't mean we still don't care for you. The idea is that we still love you. We just ain't going to have nothing to do with you. Amen. And if I have to put you out the church, I can do that too. Amen. Amen. You see, the problem that I'm having with a lot of people is, you know, you only got one pastor. Amen. And it's not you. Amen. This ain't my church. It's the Lord's church. But I'm the pastor. And I don't let people tell me how to pastor the Lord's church. Because he called me, you didn't. Amen. And for 38 years, I've been doing a decent job. You ain't about to change that now. Now, see, that was your time to clap. And see, some of y'all missed that. Amen. And the whole church should have been just in an uproar. Listen, after Jesus had told them this, Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? He said, up to seven times. Jesus said, Peter, no, 7 times 70, which is 490. But that doesn't mean you're supposed to be counting how many times you forgave somebody. Because if you're on 327, keep on now. You'll be up to 490 in a little while. All right, you're on 389. You're pushing it, you know. No. It means an innumerable amount of time. You continue to forgive people even if they don't forgive you. Don't let that thing fester inside of you. And that has to do with not only in the church, that has to do with your family, your friends, your associates, your neighbors, everybody. You got to look like you belong to God. Amen. You got to smile when you feel like frowning and crying. That people might know. You got to build a bridge. Build a bridge. Start it out with just a string. Amen. A thread, then a string, and then a rope, and then a cable. Build your bridge. Build the relationships back, because it's necessary for you to live this Christian life. Life is too short to be angry at people. Amen. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give Satan a foothold to destroy you. Amen. Don't let these things live inside of you. You have the love of God in you, and you need to keep it that way. My brother says, I was doing some reading about bridges, and I was looking at some of these things as to what it costs to build a bridge. Bridges are expensive. Even if you're building a bridge, and sometimes you feel like you've been lied on and played, and you say, well, I don't want to swallow my pride and go to him. Swallow pride. Go ahead and swallow your pride. They don't have to come to you. Go to them. Go to them and tell them that you were wrong, you were sorry. Even if you wasn't wrong, you didn't feel you were wrong. Because sometimes if you just get to talking, you'll find out that you misunderstood some things. Or they misunderstood some things. Maybe they didn't mean it the way that you took it. Amen. We don't have time for all of this mess. But bridges are costly. They are very expensive. See, I read that the London Bridge over in England, it cost $7 million to dismantle that bridge and bring it over to the United States and reassemble it here in the city in Arizona. $7 million because somebody wanted the London Bridge in the United States. The Golden Gate Bridge spanning the entrance from San Francisco Bay, it cost $35 million years ago, and it spanned 4,200 feet. Between its main towers. Very expensive. The George Washington Memorial Bridge is the third greatest suspension bridge. It spans the Hudson River between New York City and Fort Lee, New Jersey. It was opened in 1931 at a cost of $60 million. And then the San Francisco Bay and Transway Bridge is the world's longest bridge. It spans 8 1/4 miles and cost $77 million when they built it. But that's not the world's costliest bridge. The world's costliest bridge was not composed of steel, iron, and cement. It was flesh and blood. It was the blood of our Savior. That's the bridge that spans mankind to God. That's the bridge. That's the bridge. You see, when Adam sinned, a wide gorge separated man from God. And God said, how can I bring them back? How can I span this big gorge between us? What can I do? How can a sinless God be reconciled to sinful man? God used his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to build a bridge of reconciliation. Jesus came into this world to be a bridge that would bring us back to God. Yes, he did. He died upon the cross to bring us back to God. It cost more than any bridge ever built because it cost God his only begotten Son. It cost Jesus Christ his life. That's the price that he paid for your sin and for my sin. But Jesus is the only bridge to get back to God. You can't get to God no other kind of way. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. He is the bridge over troubled waters. He's the bridge that gets you back to the Lord. Amen. He's the bridge that God has sent down here to reconcile the entire world. It's Jesus, I tell you. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. So when you get angry, when you become bitter, just build a bridge and get over it. But the Lord has given you a bridge through his Son, Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross and was buried in a borrowed tomb, stayed there Friday and all day Saturday. But early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. Build a bridge. Get over it. Get over your troubles. Get over your problem. Get over your insecurities, over your hatred, over your problem. Build a bridge and just get over it. God bless you. Stand to your feet. The door to the church is now open.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.